Hey, here we go.
Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
I found myself thinking this a lot during the NFL draft as I was watching the first 15 picks come off the board. Why does ESPN find it necessary to tell us who the pick is going to be 20 seconds before Roger Goodell comes out on stage and tells us? Why is that important? Why is it that we have to go to Colleen Dominguez in Arizona 20 seconds before the pick is announced so she can tell us, hey, just got word, Arizona told me they're taking Patrick Peterson? One of the reasons I like watching the NFL draft is the excitement of not knowing who that pick is going to be. And when you start telling me who the pick is going to be before every pick is made, I am less interested in the draft. That's part of it. Part of it is the surprise. Part of it is going, oh, who's getting traded? What's going on? And so when you start showing the camera of every guy who was taking a phone call from the team, that takes away from the NFL draft. When you go to Adam Schefter and he says, hey, just to let you know, the Falcons traded up to number 6 with Cleveland and they're going to take Julio Jones, that takes away from the surprise and the enjoyment of the NFL draft. I don't understand why ESPN focuses on being the first people to break the news. It's 20 seconds away. We're already watching. We're not going to go over to the NFL Network in the next 20 seconds because we think they're going to reveal the pick before you are. We're already with you. We don't need to hear it from your insiders who just heard it because they peeked at the card before it was handed in. We don't need to know that. Leave it to Goodell. Leave it to the fans to get to see who it's going to be at the same time. Why do we have to hear it 20 seconds beforehand? I've just never gotten that. And to me, it took away from the NFL draft completely that out of every single pick in the first round, the only one where they didn't announce it was the Christian Ponder pick. Every other one, I knew who was getting picked 20 to 30 seconds before Goodell even came out and did it on the board and announced it. Now, here's the other irritating thing. In my opinion, if we go beyond pick 20 and you get announced, even if you're at Radio City Music Hall, you don't get to go on stage and give Roger Goodell a hug. You're a top 20 pick. Congratulations. You don't get to go on stage just because you got invited. You didn't know. There were some guys there that were invited because other players that decided not to come that were clearly not going to go in the first round. Raheem Moore, Ryan Williams, these guys were not going on the first day in anybody's projections. So why are you even at Radio City Music Hall? And why did you show up for the second day? Ryan Williams had pictures being taken on the stage of everybody in his family. He was picked in the second round of the draft. Now, I realize this is a life-altering moment for these people. But getting to go on stage, getting to wear that special suit, and go on stage and shake Roger Goodell's hand and all the things that come with it should be a privilege, not something everybody gets to go through because they got invited. That's the risk you take by going to Radio City Music Hall. That's the risk guys like Aaron Rodgers and Brady Quinn took by going to Radio City Music Hall. And it was completely watered down the whole event to watch a guy who goes in the second round go out on stage and get to take pictures with the media and get to hug Roger Goodell and get to take pictures with his family on stage. To me, that completely takes away from the draft. And between those two things, Scott, the draft was very watered down this year to me than most years.
Not just that, they waited so long to announce the picks so they could fit in commercials and everything. Because I was watching it on the NFL Network. I didn't watch ESPN one bit. And Rich Eisen even made the comment through the first round, they're going so fast. Like, he didn't have time to tweet. He didn't have time to get up. He didn't have time to do anything. They didn't have commercial breaks because these picks were coming through so fast. Nobody was using the full 10 minutes. And then it moved the same way. And I was on Twitter throughout the whole thing, and just like you said, the reporters are breaking them on there. So I knew Danny Watkins was going to the Eagles probably about 4 minutes before they actually made the pick.
In fact, you texted me Danny Watkins, and I was sitting there going, why are you texting me Danny Watkins? I don't get this. And then they announced, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly. And the reason being, they had to fit in all their commercials. They purposely slowed it down as if the draft doesn't take long enough as it is. But you're right. And then the fact that you go up there with your entire entourage. Like, that's, I understand if you want to go up there just you, walk up, shake the commissioner's hand, hold the jersey, that's great.
That's a privilege that every top 20 pick should
get. Right. You can wear your diamond studded sundial on your arm that you call a watch that you're getting from somebody that you have to pay back eventually. I wonder how many people realize that you don't just get those.
Oh, those
things
are like
for
spotted
free
by an agent, and then you got to give them back.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But I got to be honest with you. I didn't watch NFL Network's coverage because I don't have the NFL Network, but I watched on ESPN, and I love Chris Berman. Chris Berman is one of my all-time favorite broadcasters. But ESPN has to think hard about getting a new host for the draft, because the bottom line is Chris Berman is at a point where he doesn't think fast enough. And you can tell when people are talking in his ear because he completely freezes, completely stammers, and you're sitting there and you know somebody's in his ear going, hey, let it go about 20 more seconds because they're about to make the pick, so don't go to any video or anything like that. And he is stopped, frozen, listening to what they're saying. Susie Culber, who's going to be on today, does a way better job with the draft than Chris Berman does. And I'm not trying to knock Chris Berman, because Chris Berman is an institution in sports broadcasting and is an institution at the draft. But everybody gets old at some point. Everybody gets to a point where they can no longer do something. And Chris Berman is at the point where he is a hazard on ESPN and he's a channel changer. If I had had the NFL Network, I would have switched over to watch Rich Eisen rather than Chris Berman. It's just, it's flat. It's unorganized. He constantly looks over at Gruden and Mel Kiper to give him support. They don't realize he's asking for it because they're up there with Chris Berman. They assume he can handle it. The chemistry is not there. ESPN has to honestly take a look at it and wonder whether it's in their best interest at this point to see if maybe a Mike Tirico or something would be interested in doing the draft next year.
Or a guy, an unsung hero who does a lot of radio, Ryan Russillo.
Absolutely. I think Ryan Russillo would be great at it. Absolutely. Ryan Russillo does a very good job thinking on his feet, and he also does a very good job with show prep, and he would be ready to go. Absolutely, Ryan Russillo would be great. I think there's a couple of guys that would be good. A couple of their sports center anchors I think would be good at it. I think Scott Van Pelt, who does a great job with the Masters, would do a good job. Who does the NBA draft?
I don't know. I haven't watched the NBA draft
Is it Stuart Scott that does the NBA draft?
Could be. I honestly don't watch the NBA draft. That's one where I just get it online afterwards.
Whatever the case is, I think ESPN, to save their ratings and to not lose viewers to the NFL Network, honestly needs to take a hard look at switching who hosts the show next year. Because like I said, I'm more entertained by Susie Culber at this point than I am by Chris Berman. It's just my own personal opinion. It's my own personal opinion. All right, let's talk about some of the Big Ten players that have been drafted or are about to be drafted in this draft and where we think they might go, where they're a good fit. And I want to start with a second-round pick to the San Diego Chargers by the name of Jonas Mouton. You may have heard of him. He was a linebacker at Michigan. And I'm going to let you go with this because you were the one that read the article and pointed this out to me. But just go ahead with your analysis of Jonas Mouton on this.
This is from Pro Football Weekly, who did a pick-by-pick analysis. This was out last night. Second round, pick number 29, 61 overall, San Diego Chargers, inside linebacker Jonas Mouton. This is the first wow pick of the draft. Mouton is a converted safety who graded out in the sixth round. He does not play with much physicality and likely was drafted to help fill the Chargers' shortcomings in their nickel defense. GM A.J. Smith reached big time to fill a need, pick with inside linebackers Kevin Burnett and Stephen Cooper, both unsigned and potentially not returning.
We talked about it a little bit before, that it's as much about your talent evaluation as it is about knowing what other people value players at. And if you're going to tell me that you thought that Jonas Mouton would be gone by the third round, I'm going to tell you, you need to reevaluate your player evaluations.
That he would be drafted ahead of Greg Jones? I mean, I didn't think Greg Jones is a fantastic NFL prospect, and he hasn't been drafted yet, but I figured the battle between Michigan and Michigan State for who was drafted first was between Jones and Schilling, the guard from Michigan.
Yeah, I honestly, dude, I would much rather have Nick Ballore at this point from Central Michigan than Jonas Mouton. I think there's more upside with Nick Ballore than Jonas Mouton. The guy runs a 4.8, 4.40. He's not going to be any good in coverage. It's a wasted pick. But I look at some of these other players. This year shows me how much of a drop-off in talent there is in the Big Ten than other conferences. Because if you look at it, the only players that went high for the Big Ten are muscle players, guys in the trenches. Other than that, we're talking about all guys that aren't fast enough, frankly, to play in the NFL and aren't athletic enough to play high rankings in the NFL.
Was the only guys drafted in the first round were four defensive linemen?
And there were Big Ten guys drafted, no doubt about it. But you're talking Watt, Kerrigan, Karimi, and who's the other one?
Legit, you had Claiborne
and Claiborne.
Hayward.
Okay,
Hayward
and Hayward.
Last bit, yeah.
Those are all in the trenches players. So if that's where all your talent is, it shows me that the Big Ten is not recruiting athletes as of late. They can't get athletes to come play in this conference. And that's a huge issue because when you go play SEC teams and things like that, guess what? They have in the trenches guys that are just as good as you are in the trenches guys, except that they jump 40 inches and they run a 4.7 40 at 280 pounds. Your guy is slow but strong. And that's a problem in the Big Ten that I foresee being a bigger issue as these couple of seasons go along.
Coming into last season, would you have predicted J.J. Watt is the first Big Ten player,
no.
Big Ten defensive lineman
no,
to be drafted?
No, not at all.
And the thing that I love, I love to rib you about it, being a former Central Michigan tight end, said he transferred to Wisconsin because he wanted to play defense.
Every time I hear somebody tell that story, and I've heard it a lot on NFL analysis and things of that nature, I want to drive to Cincinnati and punch Butch Jones in the face. Because how you miss out on a guy who's the number 11 pick in the entire draft, and you're sitting there going, oh, he's a tight end. This guy's a tight end. He could be a solid backup tight end at Central Michigan. Wow. You need to reevaluate your player evaluations as well. Let's talk about... Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, he'd probably have Denard Robinson playing wide out, too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk about... Greg Jones. What's a good fit as far as round goes? Where would you like to see Greg Jones go? Where can he succeed?
I think he's definitely one of the... He's picked in the first round of today, fourth round. I could see him going just... He doesn't have great upside because he's a senior. He's been through everything. But you don't need great upside when you have the production that he's had. And the Cardinals need a linebacker. I don't like that for him because their defense is just, it's all mediocre. The Philadelphia Eagles do need a linebacker, and that is a defense that I think he'd be really good with.
Well, Philly is a defense that loves the blitz. And Greg Jones would fit in very well there. He's a good gap filler as far as a middle linebacker goes. He's smart as far as a football player goes. His coverage skills are terrible, but the thing is with the Eagles, they don't ask their linebackers to cover people. They oftentimes put their corners and their safeties on one-on-one coverage and just say, you stick with your man, without any deep safety help. And that's how they do it, and they blitz their linebackers. So I agree with you. I think he could be a great fit in Philadelphia. Absolutely. Let's talk about a guy like Chris L. Rucker, who I think is a great fit for somebody to cut after 1 year. My personal opinion about Chris L. Rucker, I think the guy is a complete waste of space at cornerback. I think if you're going to get anything out of him, maybe you move him. I can't even say move him to safety. I don't think he's got the size to play safety. I can't believe that somebody's going to take this guy in this draft. I just can't.
That's the thing that amazes me because they talk about his size, how he's 6'1", 195, and he has decent speed. No, he doesn't. He's pretty slow, actually. He's not quick. He doesn't move smoothly. He's not a great cover guy. He was a non-shutdown corner in what you already said is the non-athletic Big Ten.
Not to mention he's got quote-unquote character issues. And if you want talk character issues... Nothing bigger than a guy who's had two DUIs in how many years?
In 2 years.
Yeah, two DUIs in 2 years. Pretty sure that's a quote-unquote character issue. All right? Now, this guy, Do I think he will get drafted by somebody? Possibly, but I look down the board, and right now, he's about 10 down on the board for cornerbacks right now, which means he was 16 or 17 overall in people's evaluations.
Well, last year, Ware got drafted in the 7th round by the Raiders, and that's because he ran a very fast 40 at his pro day. He was around a 4.3 40, and just like the Raiders do, they drafted the fastest guy this year already as well. So, I mean, he could be drafted in the 6th round. I could see that happening. Like, it's a waste of a pick. Charlie Gant could get drafted. He's not a good catching tight end. He's a good blocking tight end. Maybe Mark Dell and Eric Gordon's just a guy
I
you signed.
I think he's probably more of... Mark Dell, I think, is more of a free agent type of player. I think he'll make a roster. I don't know if anybody's going to waste a draft pick on him. That's just my personal opinion. Do I think he can make an NFL roster? Yeah, I think he's got the prototypical size to be an NFL wide receiver, at least for a couple of years.
He shows flashes of brilliance.
Yes, he does.
Injury prone, too.
Yes, he does. If he could catch the ball more, it'd be fantastic. But overall, I think he can make a roster. I just wonder whether somebody would risk that. All right, when we come back, we'll talk Tigers and Red Wings, and then we get Michigan State football for the 10 o'clock hour. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.